Are you a .NET developer and think that embedded development is complicated and hard? Well, we'll prove you wrong today. At least Laurent will prove you wrong by showing you how to connect .NET Nano Framework to Azure IoT with just a few lines of code. Magic. That's today on the IoT Show. Hi, everyone. This is the Internet of Things show. I'm Olivier, your host. Thanks for joining. Today, I have my friend Laurent was here to discuss .NET Nano Framework and how to connect that to the cloud. Laurent, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Hey, Olivier. All good. Thank you.
For those who have not seen that first episode of the IoT Show with you, there was the introduction to .NET Nano Framework. So we will not go through the introduction again because everyone can go and watch the video again. But tell us a bit about yourself real quick. What are you doing? What is your team working on these days?
So I'm working in Microsoft for commercial software engineering, and I'm leading a team of software engineers, and we are focusing on doing co-engineering with our largest customers. And a lot of our scenarios does involve IoT. So that's what we are doing.
Nice. So last time you gave us an introduction of .NET Nano Framework at a high level. So we got to see, you know, how .NET developers can develop for microcontroller devices. And before we jump into how you can do more by connecting these microcontrollers running .NET code to the cloud, you actually had some interesting comment in our preparation meeting about why would someone want to do that? Why would you want to run code on microcontrollers? I think like we get that at a high level, but why would we want to bring .NET on microcontrollers?
Well, if you're a .NET developer, you like .NET and you understand it's a very productive language. You can do things very quickly. And the other element is that if you're a .NET developer, you can develop from the cloud to a PC, to a small device like a Raspberry Pi, for example, with .NET IoT. And then the next one, it's clearly MCUs. And today, with .NET Nano Framework, you can do that. You can have this continuity. So it won't be the same code that you will run in an Azure data center than you will run on your MCU. But the C-sharp competencies that you will be able to reuse are there. So that's really about reusing. The other element, it's about connecting MCUs to the cloud. You say like, can connect those MCUs to the cloud. And one of the elements is that they've become much more powerful and get much more network coverage as well in all places. Like you take like this little ESP32, which I will do a demo later on. It can connect to Wi-Fi. So if you have a place covered with Wi-Fi, you can get those things connected, very, very quickly and connect them to the cloud. So why not?
Exactly. I think, as you were saying, definitely these microcontrollers are getting smarter and smarter because they're more capable. So we can now, instead of forcing people to do embedded development with C code and or sometimes assembly, which can become very complicated real quick. Now we're abstracting all of that with this kind of frameworks. I love that. And as you were saying, connectivity is becoming more, pervasive as well on these tinier devices with technology consuming less battery, because battery is definitely a big problem there. But okay, so we'll see. I think you and your team have been developing an SDK that allows connecting a .NET Nano Framework device to Azure IoT, to the cloud. But we'll see that. But before we jump into that, can you give me a little rundown of the state of Nano Framework? Sure. Where are you guys at?
Yeah, so .NET Nano Framework works on multiple platforms. As you can see on the screen, we do support like all the ESP32 families, all the STM32 family, some of the Texas Instruments as well, NXP. So you really have a broad range of processors supported. And when I say support, is that you have, of course, the support for the board, but you have as well the support to run .NET Nano Framework. And to connect to that, and we can see that in a demo later today, there is a Visual Studio extension that you install, and then you can see your device, connect to your device, debug your device. You'll see it's magic. And there is as well a unit test framework. There is really all the tools that you are used to have.
Nice. So embedded development has a reputation of being complicated and hard, and it involves wiring, soldering stuff at the same time as manipulating registers and low-level memory and whatever. Let's show .NET developer how it's done using their favorite language and their favorite tools. Show us how you connect a .NET Nano Framework device to the cloud now.
Okay. First, I'll start by maybe explaining a few concepts about what I will do. Here, I will use a service, which is an Azure service called DPS. That's the nickname. And it does allow you to provision devices to the cloud. Why? I mean, you asked me before why connecting devices to the cloud. I said, like, why not? But that comes with a couple of elements that you have to take care. Managing your devices, provisioning your devices, being able to revoke devices if you have any issue, security issue, and doing more things like that. And this service allows you, so this device provisioning service, DPS, allows you to do those kind of things in a very transparent and very easy way.
Yeah, there's someone actually was presenting DPS, saying the device provisioning service, saying that it's the concierge for devices. Device come in to DPS, they identify themselves with some unique piece of identity, and then they are given the keys to an IoT hub, to a gateway in the cloud instance that they can then connect and communicate, right?
Exactly. And here, for example, I will show how to provision an individual device. So I've prepared that a little bit so that it can go faster. So that's the Nano DPS device. I've created it with just a symmetric key. And it has not been yet on any IoT hub. It's supposed to go in my IoT hub, like the Cellarback IoT service. I go in this one. I will try to search for this device. This device is not here. Okay. So this device does not exist. Okay. It's just in a field. Now, what I will do is I will go in Visual Studio and I will launch this code. I have my device connected. It will do a bit of magic, and I will try just to comment. First, what you can see.
So the code you're showing here is available on GitHub as a sample, right? So you have the SDK itself, and then you have this.
Yes. In a very detailed sample. And as you can see, it's C# 9 style code. I'm using Visual Studio 2009. I have my folders. That's C#, right? I mean, no doubts about that. And from the registration service, I have then my registration ID, the global ID provisioning, the scope. It's basically my own DPS, and then this beautiful key, which I just copy-paste a bit before. The deployment is happening on a device. It will finish very soon, and it will start connecting. The first thing I need to do is connect to my Wi-Fi to get some cloud connectivity. Once that's done, I have the Azure certificate that I will be able to use in order to use SSL. I mean, SSL is supported on those kind of devices, in this case, SSL, TLS. And the debug is now starting. Then I will create a provisioning service. I just pass my secret. I will ask to register the device. And if all goes right, my status should be green. So now it's connecting to the Wi-Fi. We can see that on the bottom here, and very soon it should get connected.
So Laurent, while it's doing that, so there's a couple of things you mentioned that I think are interesting to double click on. So the SSL part, that's a part that is interesting because we do require devices to encrypt communication to connect to the cloud. So that's the reason why. The time is important. People sometimes forget that when you establish an SSL connection, you need a token that has an expiration date, right? For security reasons, you need to create a token that has an expiration date. And so if you don't want to have the expiration date to be in the past and never work for the token, you better have the right time. So you need to sync the time on the device. These tinier devices don't have a battery, don't have a knowledge of the time unless they synchronize with the server. So these are things that I think are important to mention.
Yes, and here you can see, like, I get the time, the date, and what you can see is that multiple threads run, and I'm hitting a breakpoint here in my code.
So something people might not realize, you're running the code on the device, and you're debugging from Visual Studio on your dev machine. And this is something that in the embedded world is not trivial. This is something that very often requires advanced hardware like JTAG debuggers and things like that to make it happen. Here, you're doing that from the comfort of Visual Studio on your machine, connected over USB, and it's certainly serial over USB or something like that. It happens behind. And you're just doing breakpoints and step-by-step and things like that in Visual Studio, and you cross debug, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And here I can hit continue, for example. So it seems like my connection went well. I'll get all my details, okay, the status, the different information. What you haven't seen, but in the meantime, it gets connected to Azure. So I created my Azure connection with the credential and with the information I got from my DPS. I open that, all good. And here what I will do is I will get my twins as well. So before I get the twins, I need to show you that in the portal on the device. So we will quickly check that the device has been provisioned. So I click on the device here, and I will show you some more magic. So my device has been connected. It's the time in GMT that match with the time you've seen just before. And here, there is this concept of twin. So the concept of twin, it's really properties that you can give to your device, and your device can report as well. So for example, if there are some specific settings about some pins or about some naming or about whatever, you can give that to the device. Yep. So that's provision as well. Now that's what I want to get. Okay, so I'll just click play, and here I should see appearing my twin.
Okay, so the DPS service not just provided credentials to the device for it to connect to RTL, but also set an initial configuration for properties in the hub for that specific device. So that's what you're
absolutely
referring to.
Okay. And if I go back to the portal, and if I try to search for my device, this time I will have my device.
Yep.
Okay. I have my device here. I can click. I can do the details of the device. And I can go and check the twins of the device if I want. And that's going to be the same twin that we've just provisioned.
Fantastic. Okay?
I can make a change, then it will get the new twins. But in the meantime, I have my twins in there, like just the thing I asked to add, like Nano SDK something. It's fantastic. Nice. Magic, right?
Yep.
And I can continue, I can send message. So this is how simple it is to send a message. This is the first one is a text message. The second one is a JSON, like it's a manually done JSON. Mm-hmm. But there are a few things I haven't shown you. First is that we have a lot of nuggets, and there is a JSON nugget. All the magic that happened when I click play before, and when it connected to DPS, and all the exchange, and all what happened, is based on a couple of things. First, the JSON one. Second, the MQTT broker that we are using. But this is totally transparent. You don't need to know that. You just connect. You just hit play, and that's good to go. And if I continue, hit play, then the message will go to the cloud, and my device is available to do whatever you want. Now it's connected.
Nice. Very nice. And yes, as you just emphasized, as just mentioned, you have that SDK, that layer that abstracts the complexity of things. Because at the end of the day, someone could implement, you know, their code on top of a MQTT client, right? Which is that protocol we're using to communicate.
Absolutely.
Here with your recently released Azure IoT SDK for Nano Framework, this is one line of code. I noticed that you're actually also using namespaces that are very similar to the one we're using in the I would say big .NET SDK.
Exactly.
So developers can also consider migrating their code pretty easily, right?
Exactly, and that's what I wanted to highlight and to show as well, is that the definition of the functions are almost the same. So it's not the same code. You cannot just copy paste run. Yep. You can copy paste, adjust few percent, play. And you are good to go. Something else as well I'd like to mention is that here I put the secret in the code. That's usually no good. And so, of course, we do support as well certificates. So I have the exact same sample, which I won't run with certificate. I've put the certificate here as well in the code, and that's no good. But there are a couple of tricks. It's that with Nano Framework, you can upload your certificate without having to upload your code. There is a configuration panel in the Visual Studio extension, and that you can do as well programmatically, where you can upload device certificates, root certificate, and then you don't have to put anything in your code. So if that's you nice, upload the device,
usually when you take advantage of an OS like big Windows or Linux, you have a certificate store that the apps can go feed from, right? And here what you're saying is that, is it the Nano Framework that offers that cert store as well?
Absolutely, yes. Right. It's a feature from Nano Framework, and that's done on this purpose to be able to have the capacity to revoke certificates, flash new certificates on a device without having to reflash the code.
Fantastic. So that means that you can have a device that is flashed in factory, actually thanks to DPS and that cert store, where you have the SSL connectivity through the cert store in that cert store, and then you can have an enrollment in DPS that leverages certificates, have a group enrollment, have your certs for that group enrollment in that store, and then the code being generic on the device that leverages that to do the authentication with DPS.
You will sell devices all around the world. You don't know where they will be. And with DPS, once the device connects, you can select an option which is the lowest latency. And if you have multiple IoT hubs all over the world to reduce the latency, then the device will be able to get connected to the one which is the closest to where it is.
Awesome. Cool. Well, Laurent, that's a great demo of how to connect a device using .NET directly on the device to the cloud. I hope everyone enjoyed that. I personally am impressed. I love where the Nano Framework is going and what you, your team and yourself are doing there. If you want to learn more about what you just saw and the SDK for connecting a Nano Framework to Azure IoT, you can go to aka.ms/IoTshow/Nano Framework Azure IoT. And if you're a .NET developer, it's this time of the year where .NET Conf is soon. So don't forget to sign up for the .NET conference. I think it's November 9th to 11th or something like that soon.
Save the date for .NET Conf 2021, November 9th through the 11th for the .NET 6 launch. .NET Conf is our annual free 3-day virtual developer event co-organized by the .NET community and Microsoft, sponsored by the .NET Foundation and our ecosystem partners. For 3 days, you'll learn from featured speakers from the community and .NET teams at Microsoft, talking about .NET 6, C# 10, Azure, Visual Studio, and more. This is your chance to learn, ask questions live, and get inspired for your next software project. We've got wall-to-wall content for web, mobile, cloud, desktop, games, services, libraries, and a variety of platforms and devices, all with .NET. Everyone is going to learn something, no matter if you're just beginning or you're a seasoned engineer. Don't delay. Head to www.dotnetconf.net. That's .NET Conf.net to learn more and tune in.
So sign up, go get some more content. There might be some Nano Framework content during that .NET Conf, but we also are thinking about what can we offer as an event, as content for you .NET developers when it comes to IoT. So feel free to come back to the IoT show, ping us. And Laurent, thanks a lot for your time today. I hope to see you soon again on the IoT show for more about Nano Framework, right?
With pleasure, as always. Thank you, Olivier. Thank you, everyone. Bye.
Thank you, everyone. Bye.